This interview is brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. You can check out the full episode at lickinonlending.com. Talk about someone who's loaded up with great information, trying his best to share it with us each and every week, as we have Matt Graham here, founder and CEO of MBS Live. Got his screen right behind me, always on, and always bring me the latest information. Matt Graham, good to have you here. What's going on?
First off, Dave, I'm surprised you've been reading Les's newsletter since you were, what, like 5, 10 years old? And you've been reading it for 30 years.
And I've been reading it for probably 34 years, if you could actually count. So that's crazy. That's what happens when you're 7 years old. It's a long time. It's an addiction, I think, as much as anything else. But I'm looking at screen here. The 10-year, we're testing highs here, man. What's happening? 10.59?
Yeah, things are screaming. Let's heat it up for us, man, because it was really all about Powell last week. And it was kind of all about Powell heading into the week. We talked about that a bit last Monday. And it turns out that it was probably even a bigger deal than anticipated. Yeah. And that was very odd to me personally. I'll talk about why in a second, but very fascinating stuff going on. So in a general sense, we know we have the rising rate environment, and that can just really be talked about broadly in terms of the fight back against COVID. And as COVID recedes and vaccines proliferate, then we can price in a reality where this 1.3, 1.4 range in the 10-year yield, which used to be the all-time low, can maybe be the low again. Mm-hmm. That's not to say we can't get below that in 2021 for a few different reasons, just that if we're heading back to a reality without COVID, then maybe we should head back to a rate range from before COVID existed. Sort of that simple. But nuts and bolts here. Heading into last week, what we had in relation to this rate spike was other central banks around the world taking note of the rate spike and saying, hey, we're not going to let things get too bad. That could sort of hamper our policy efforts. And we want to make sure that if we're going to all this effort to provide accommodation, that it's actually having a benefit. And if rates spike too much, it won't have as much of a benefit. And the buzz began to grow and clamor began to increase for the Fed to do something similar, even if it was only by way of saying something verbally that, hey, markets, we got your back. If rates get too high, don't worry about it. And while they have kind of said that, they have also said, no, hey guys, rates this high make sense in this economy. It's a sign that things are going as expected and they're not a concern for us right now. So markets naturally freaked out about that. They like to call the Fed's bluff in those situations and then force the Fed to ultimately say something. But the Fed has continued to refuse. And that's why Thursday was so interesting last week, because we had the man himself, Fed Chair Powell, one of the last speeches before the Fed enters its blackout period, which is the week leading up to the next meeting where they don't have official policy communications, where they don't give speeches. And so we could rest reasonably assured that he was going to address what everybody was hoping he was going to address. We were so assured that some journalists and analysts started talking about Operation Twist 3.0 and reintroducing this notion of the Fed extending the weighted average maturity, or WAM, of their bond portfolio. This, if you recall, Dave, is a topic we broached back in December leading up to that Fed meeting. We were looking, well, we knew the Fed was going to comment on Twist. And Twist, by the way, for listeners, that just refers to the Fed selling shorter term bonds and buying the same dollar amount of longer term bonds. So they're not increasing the size of their balance sheet, but they are providing more accommodation and helping longer term rates like mortgages move lower. Anyway, we knew Powell was going to say something. We didn't know it was going to be about Twist, but the buzz sort of ramped up that, hey, now the Fed could announce Twist again. And I wish we had a podcast last Wednesday night or Thursday morning, because I thought that was absolutely crazy. And the title of my commentary piece on Thursday morning is Markets Are Setting Up for Disappointment from Powell, something to that effect anyway, because there was no way that he was ever going to reinvigorate the Twist program. It's easy to say in hindsight, but again, we can point to numerous Fed speeches in recent weeks where they have said, hey, we talked about that in December. We're not doing Twist. And we're also cool with rates and things are going as expected. So go about your business, go spend money, don't get COVID, wear a mask, bye. And for all intents and purposes, while Powell did continue to be very realistic about the economic challenges ahead, which he's done a good job of throughout recent speeches. He completely avoided the topic of Twist, even though the WSJ reporter, Nick Timmerhouse, who does a great job, by the way, lobbed him numerous softballs to let Powell comment on that. Powell went out of his way not to talk about it. And Mark is kind of freaked out about that because it's like, is he oblivious or are they just, I guess Powell wants rates to go higher. And that was the takeaway. And really, out in the trading community and analytical community, people are viewing this as Powell giving the bond market a green light to steepen and sell off further in the long end of the yield curve. Don't know how much farther that's going to go, but we're looking at a range of 1.4 to 1.8 in the 10-year treasury yield, where we likely get some sort of consolidative support building. Now, that's not very avant-garde analysis because we're already over 1.4. So that's just saying, hey, we'll probably consolidate and find some support before we get up to 1.8. One would certainly hope that would be the case and probably assume that would be the case based on the size of past sell-offs. The only thing that we need to keep in mind is that it's hard to compare the current environment to past sell-offs just because of the uniqueness of the environment leading up to it.
Right.
So anyway, bonds tanked because Powell stuck to his same old script. They were tanking before Powell as well, and despite weak economic data. So this may have been sort of the trade that was in play for the week, and maybe traders were waiting to see if Powell had something friendly to say. And then they tanked some more on Friday after a stellar jobs report. And if you pay any attention to economic data, you probably heard about that one, 379,000 payrolls versus 182 forecast, and a big revision to the previous week. And initially, bad reaction in bonds, but bonds recovered really nicely. And a lot of people on MBS Live dashboard in the chat were talking about, oh, this is it. This is the bounce. Bonds are going to come back now. But I reminded them on Friday and remind anybody on a Friday afternoon after a big sell-off has a nice bounce that, hey, we could just be seeing short sellers covering their bets, which involves bond buying and leveling off. And then, of course, heading into this week, here we are flat to slightly weaker, just confirming all of the pain that we have experienced recently. But at least that pain was offset by a pretty stellar year for almost every originator and mortgage market participant in terms of 2020. As far as this week, lighter on the economic data front.
Looking at your screen, looking at the calendar right now with the This Week tab.
That's right. Lighter economic data this week. We do have the Treasury auction cycle and a ton of corporate bond issuance. Both of those things are going to keep pressure on bonds at least through Wednesday, Thursday timeframe. If we are going to get a bounce this week, that's when I would look for it, and it would likely have something to do with Treasury auctions. Inflation data, three different reports speak to inflation this week. The headliner would be core CPI on Wednesday at 8:30 a.m. I don't think the market is quite yet ready to pay a ton of attention to those reports because we have to get through April and May's reports because those are the ones that will have been affected and distorted by base effects, meaning the year ago numbers were so low that they're going to make the year over year numbers look higher in the two subsequent reports. This one won't be affected by that, but the next two will. It'll be interesting to see how the bond market digests that. Do they understand that, or are they going to freak out when they see the bigger number? I think most traders understand it, but it'll still be interesting to see. And then consumer inflation expectations as a part of consumer sentiment on Friday. But that is basically it for this week and just keeping our fingers crossed for some support here.
Yeah, well, no kidding. Hopefully you don't break through. I was reading over the weekend, the advisorsperspective.com, and they had a really interesting graph on here. And it's something that you've been talking about, and it's going to the wisdom that you have, but it's real interesting. Sometimes picture's worth a thousand words, but it's Wall Street actually put together this graph. WallStreet.com, and it's comparing the U.S. Treasury to the Freddie Mac rates. And you look at the drop of the spread between the 10-year and the 30-year fixed rate mortgage, and it goes right back to what we saw happening. Yep. And you've been talking about this. So that's something I'd love to get your perspective on, this graph. And it is, quite frankly, I don't know if it's alarming is the right word, or it's like, should we be alarmed? But it's a precipitous drop mirroring exactly what we saw back in 2009. So I'd love to get your thoughts on that. Very interesting stuff.
Yeah, no problem. Do you want 30 seconds of thoughts now or just tackle it next week?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure thing. So here we go. The spread from mortgage rates to 10-year is the sharpest one because it's compounded by a ton of tightening between mortgage rates and MBS as well. And going back to really, we're in the range. We're in the zone that we've been in since 2011, middle of 2011. Mm-hmm. And that's just fine. I don't think it speaks to anything happening in the future. That drop speaks to things that happened in 2020 and then corrected. The concern when we talked about it last year, so several months ago, was simply that these margins between mortgage rates and MBS had been wide and they were narrowing. And as soon as they got narrow enough, then Treasury volatility would cause mortgage rates to move higher if Treasuries were moving higher. And that's really exactly what's happened in 2021. That 10-year versus mortgage rate spread has stabilized. And the mortgage rate versus MBS spread is still elevated, but it probably should be because of the environment, and it could take a lot longer to get back to where it used to be back in the day. And that adverse market fee obviously isn't going to help things either. So we've soaked up most of the cushion, and mortgage rates are beholden to bond market volatility once again.
Good information here. But the chart just kind of got my attention. But you're right. We're just re-entered into what hopefully is a normal range. We'll see. But that's why you got to have your screen. I purposely strategically put it back there so everyone go, hey, what's that you got back there? There's so much great information on your screen. Encourage people to check it out. And when you're on there going for the trial period, you get a double extended period by just putting in LOL for Liquid on Lending. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. Have a good one.
You bet, friend. Always do. Appreciate you being here. Next week, we've got Chris Dunn coming on with Kinetics, and that is a recruiting firm that's out there. We're going to talk to some recruiters in this journey as we talk through how to recruit to some of the top people. We're going to listen to the other side, someone that does recruiting professionally as a lifestyle and a living. We're going to get into and talk to Chris. Very interesting. He has a podcast as well. It's going to be really good. We want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Finastra, the CMLA, the MBA, the Indicom, as well as Incelerate, Mobility, MMI, Modex, as well as Knowledge Group and Lenders One. Thank you so much for being here, and we're thrilled to have you as our listener. Share this with everyone. Have a great week, everybody. Look forward to having you back here next week.
You've been listening to Licken on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Licken of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.